this time we will dismiss for Sunday school. And so good morning, New Covenant. So we get my PowerPoint up here. There we go. Testing it. Okay, good. Well, it was a pleasure to see everyone this morning and to be able to teach today. I was really resonating with what Lori mentioned earlier in the welcome when it comes to feeling like, you know, is God speaking or is he showing himself in some form or fashion? And I was thinking about that, and particularly in terms of our overall society today, right? We are in what I call a topsy-turvy world. We can almost kind of feel like we're Christians in the Alice in Wonderland kind of setting right now, where things are just so crazy. You just wonder, like, where is God in all of this, right? So I want to talk a little bit about that, kind of take us through this process of seeing the problem and then looking at the solution, because I always love about ending with solutions. So we'll go from there. But starting with the problem, I showed a picture of me trying to climb a wall at a Wisconsin Dells 1 year vacation. And I'll just start with my first time climbing a wall, and I'll get to the rest of it later. But the first time I tried to climb it, my family laughs at me to this day, because as I was getting towards the top, I was at the near top, and I was just almost there to hit the button, you know, to say I made it, but I was shaking so bad, and I just couldn't get that last little bit, and then I didn't make it. And to today's society, with all the craziness going on, it feels like we're trying to climb a wall about a mile high, right? It feels so overwhelming, so many things going on. I just listed a few things there. We see it every day, right? You know, whether it be a disdain for environment or disregard for those who are poor, immigration issues, legally sanctioned issues for minorities and LGBT communities, lack of accountability, and we can literally go all morning on those kind of things. But there is a way for us to see God in all these kind of things. And, you know, we ask the question, well, how do we keep climbing despite how high the wall is? And for me, it comes down to at least in part, the scripture here in Colossians, where it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. All right? Before I go into that scripture a little bit, I was up in this picture, and it just reminded me of Vern. I know it's about 6 years ago, if you guys remember Vern or not, but to me, it was the perfect example, illustration of living out this scripture because, you know, if you know, those who don't know the story, Vern used to be part of Daily Bread, used to come to church regular basis, but in these chairs that you're sitting on right now, there's no support for him. So every now and then, Vern will kind of, you know, he might have been drunk the night before or whatever the case may be, but he will kind of be tipsy and he'll fall out the chair. And it'd be this huge thump, and, you know, during church, and, you know, all the nursing people had to go surround him and take care of him and everything, and this would kind of keep happening over and over again. And so how do we respond to that? Well, we just basically got Vern one of those chairs where you can, like, where you watch, you know, kids' baseball games, where you can sit back in it, have arms, and, you know, it's comfortable, and it was good to go, right? Different churches would have responded in different ways, but I think we lived out that scripture in the way we did that. And I love scripture because one of the things that the Bible does a lot of is give us real analogies that we can relate to. And this one here, it talks about clothing ourselves in compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And I think about that analogy of clothing ourselves. And I want to ask you guys, just throw out some thoughts. You know, when you think about the notion of clothing yourselves in these things, what is something about clothing ourselves that can relate to this idea of humility, gentleness, and patience? What is it about clothing ourselves that seem to connect with that scripture? What do you think? I'll give you one that starts off. So, for example, if you don't clothe yourself and you just go outside naked, you'll feel pretty silly and embarrassed, right? So that's one example. So if we don't really, as Christians, show compassion, gentleness, patience, these kind of things, we should probably feel silly and embarrassed because that's really who we are. So that's one example. Any other ideas about clothing ourselves and how it kind of relates to at least the scripture, just the action of clothing yourself? Absolutely, protect yourself in a lot of ways. Good.
It's a ritual you do every day.
Every day, right? You know, you get up every morning and you do it every single day. Absolutely. Excellent. way you express who you are as a person. You can even be creative with it, right? It's not the same every day. You mix it up, and it's not doesn't look the same all the time. Good. There you go. Yeah, some things you have to kind of wear a little bit to wear it, you know, it may fit you, right? You know, these gym shoes when I first bought them kind of hurt my feet a little bit, and I had to wear them in a little bit for them to feel more comfortable. Absolutely. All right, so we kind of get the sense here. There's lots of other things I think we can come up with. You guys mentioned creativity. It could be fun, right? A lot of people have fun picking out clothes and getting dressed on a regular basis. Now, it's also something where, you know, you won't die if you don't do it, right? It's not like like eating or breathing or drinking, right? You know, you'll live if you don't do it. But like I said, you probably want to make sure you have clothes on every day. And some people spend a lot of time getting dressed in the morning, too. So sometimes you spend a lot of time thinking about what are you going to wear for today. And so all these kind of things can relate to this idea of clothing ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience here. So just a little example, biblical example of this idea of again, illustrating this idea of showing patience and gentleness and kindness. One of my favorite passages in the Bible is Mark chapter 2 in the story about the paralyzed man who needed help. And to me, it is a classic case of people who put themselves in somebody else's shoes to show their compassion. Because one of the things that's remarkable about this story is that we don't know if these four guys who helped the paralyzed man knew anything about the paralyzed man. But somehow they were able to relate and connect with this person and to a point where they wanted to go through a lot of stuff in order to help this person get healing. The word compassion in the Greek is called patro, where it means to experience with or to suffer with, right? So to show compassion, you got to truly try to relate and truly try to walk in someone else's shoes in order to, you know, do these kind of things, to show the gentleness, to show the patience, because you're a lot more patient when you understand where another person is coming from, right? You're a lot more gentle, you know, you're a lot more humble when it comes to walking in somebody else's shoes first. And that's not an easy thing to do sometimes, but definitely a critical thing to do. And I can do a whole teaching just on this passage alone, but I just want to move along here. So how do we show compassion for the other? This picture I'm showing you is actually a young man who was actually killed in a police interaction there. His name is Romaine Brisbane. And, you know, this particular case, he was tossing and tumbling with the police officer. Police officer thought he had a gun. Turned out he was just getting a pill bottle out of his pocket. You know, and of course, there's no criminal charges for the police officer. And I show this picture because for me, it's one of the things that I've seen in society where we've been lacking some compassion with. This inability to truly put ourselves in somebody else's shoes. And the reason why I bring it up is because I talk to other people who are close to me and are Christians. And one of the things they will say when they hear about one of these tragedies is how, you know, well, what was the person doing? Or maybe this person wasn't the best citizen. Or finding some type of justification almost for what happens. And I just think about, well, the reality is that people who've done much worse still get a trial, right? You know, people who shoot up churches and Waffle Houses and theaters and schools and all this kind of stuff, they go to trial. You know, even Jeffrey Dahmer, who ate and dismembered 17 people, he went to trial. You know, so if Jeffrey Dahmer could get a trial, you know, anybody for any reason should be able to get a trial too. And for me as an African-American male, and I see these incidents time and time and time again, it's easier for me to have that compassion because I can relate to it. And so my challenge for us is how do we find a way to have that compassion for everyone who is going through various types of things, which, again, is not easy to do. Why? Because in part because we get overwhelmed. It's too much. I mean, I can't tell you how many people I've talked to who say, I can't watch the news anymore. Is this too much? It's too overwhelming. I can't do it. And the reality is that it's a human reaction and protectionism type of thing where we only can care and concern about so many people so much at a time. So I would challenge us, though, to find a way to not necessarily do everything for everybody, but at least to hold that compassion and that gentleness and that patience, that humility for everyone. Because I think we're not all equal opportunity, compassionate people, right? We all have our biases. We all have our different, you know, feelings about certain types of things, certain types of people. And the challenge for us is to find a way to, at least in terms of how we see things, see everyone as, you know, showing that compassion to everyone as we need to. And you know, there are some great things that are happening, you know, and the church as a whole. Just recently, Noel Castellanos from the CCDA, the director for CCDA, him and several others were recently arrested in Washington, D.C., protesting the issues with immigrants and families being separated and things like that. So there's a good Christian voice in a lot of these kind of things out there. You know, it would be nice if it was, you know, 20,000 Christians, you know, sitting there in Washington getting arrested and doing things. But, you know, we'll have to take what we can get for now. But that's the key thing is the living sacrifice. I don't think we're singing it today, but one of the songs I remember in New Covenant is humble and obedient. You know, Lord, make my life a living sacrifice, humble and obedient to you. And I think that's what we have to call ourselves to do, a living sacrifice. Because there's a reality to show that compassion and concern and that patience and gentleness. And then there's another thing to go to a point where you're willing to sacrifice, you know, for others and for those things. Those four guys who carried that paralyzed man, they're willing to sacrifice. I mean, they had to go through somebody's roof in order to get this man to Jesus so that Jesus can heal him. And so, again, not trying to save the world, but what is our calling in this wonderland of craziness? Where do we fit in? You know, what is your calling and how do you make a difference in your own way? And again, like with clothes, it could be creative, it could be different. It may not look the same every day. It's a matter of, and then it's also what you feel comfortable in too, right? You know, most of us don't wear clothes that we don't feel comfortable in. We wear what looks good and what's comfortable to us. And so you got to find out what does your compassion clothes look like? You know, what does that look like for you so that as you go out day to day, dress every day, how do we show that compassion and how we be sacrificial in showing that compassion to others as well? So just a few things that the scripture talks about, and I'll just talk about each one real quickly here. One was being nice, you know, kindness. I tell my mom that you can almost sum Christianity up in two words, be nice. Be nice to your neighbors, be nice to your waiter and waitresses, be nice to people you see in the grocery store line. It's just your witness to be nice. And as easy as that sounds, it's not so easy, right? I remember when I worked at Carl Hospital, we had this thing where we kind of were known to treat people pretty well in terms of their quality of care, but we weren't necessarily known to treat people terribly well in terms of our customer service. And so our CEO at the time had the entire hospital go through a four-hour class called the Carl Basics. And the Carl Basics was 4 hours of teaching us how to be nice. So if it was easy, then we probably wouldn't have had to do that. So it is something that you work on, you know, but I think it's something that if we can do and be a witness to then to counteract this craziness that we're seeing, it would be a huge, huge thing. Another one is humility that the scripture talks about. And we have the ultimate example in Jesus who showed this ultimate example of humility by washing his own disciples' feet, which I find amazing. I find amazing lots of things that Jesus did in the scriptures where, you know, here you are, the Son of God, right? There's no title you can get any higher than that, right? And yet he did things time and time again to show his humility. And in one case, washing disciples' feet. In another case, talking to a Samaritan woman who, you know, no decent, respectable male would ever talk to in biblical times, but he actually spent time with her and talked with her and had her see what the kingdom was like and all kind of great things, and just time and time again. And so that's our model. You know, it's easy to get kind of caught up in status in things in society, and it sometimes takes away from our humility. So we always have to be on guard about that. Gentleness. Philippians 4:5 says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. And again, I see this so much as a witness to other people, especially young people. The millennials, as we call it, my classes that I teach, you talked about the workforce and different generations in the workforce and how they're different. You know, for example, baby boomers live in a generation where the sun came up, you started working, and you kept working until the sun went down. You know, you just work. That was what it was all about. And then the Generation X, my generation, came up and said, you know, we'll work, but we're just going to do our 8 hours. You know, we're not going to overdo it. We're going to get our 8 hours in. We'll give you your due, call it a day. But the millennials, they say, well, tell me what you need to get done. And then if they can do that in 2 hours, They're good. They're done for the day. And what I mean, and when I say that, is because I think that people, the younger generation today, they don't follow things that are pretend. They want to see things that are real. They want to see folks who are really about something. They're not willing to just go through the motions just for the sake of going through the motions. They want to see action. And I think one of the key ways that we can show this is by being gentle and doing things and showing that action in various types of ways there. I think it's especially important today in our witness because we see church numbers across the country going down. And I think there's all kind of reasons for that. Part of the reasons of what I mentioned earlier about the Alice in Wonderland stuff, because as Christians, a lot of cases, we're not on the right side of some of these things that are going on. And others who are non-Christians see this, right? So the best way we can kind of counteract that is to live out that scripture. Another one is patience, right? And again, patience is not easy. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is the Ecclesiastes 7:8 says, "The end of a matter is better than its beginning, and patience is better than pride." We are so divided nowadays than we ever have been before, where we're being taught that it's a zero-sum game, that there's either winners or losers. And that's a false framework, right? It's a false dichotomy there. The reality is that in God's eyes, we're all God's people, we're all God's creation, and we have the opportunity to all win if we're willing to be humble and be patient and so on and so forth. It's almost like just being more than a conqueror. You know, I love the scripture in Romans that talked about being more than a conqueror. You know, what's more than a conqueror? We know what conquering is. You know, we see it on CNN all the time where everyone's politically debating all this kind of stuff that's going on and everyone's trying to win. But what does it mean? What's more than winning? Right? What does that look like? You know, what is going beyond this idea of just conquering something and trying to be the victor on something looks like? And I think as we show our patience and our gentleness and our kindness as Christians, we can go beyond winning and we can not just worry about conquering anything. We can actually do more than that. And I think that's a critical element in our witness. All right, so like I said, I'm all about trying to find solutions too. I don't just like leaving with to-dos without any kind of way to go about doing it. I wanted to show this clip, but I think I'll just kind of describe it. But one of my favorite movies is Ghostbusters. And there's this scene in Ghostbusters where the scientists, you know, Peter Venkman and so on and so forth, meet a ghost for the first time. And you got to understand that before this moment, they had been talking about ghosts. They've been studying ghosts their whole careers, and they've like just been trying their best to find evidence of a ghost, right? So they finally actually see one, and then they send it to the library where the ghost is, and they say, "What do we do?" And they had no idea because they never actually thought about once they actually saw a ghost, what do they actually do? And so I want to kind of talk about in terms of how we live the scripture out. What do we do? So just like a doctor gives us a prescription, and usually when that happens, we get our medications, and we usually feel better. Most of the time, I want to kind of give us a prescription, if you will, on what we can do. Again, nothing is easy. It's always easier said than done, but I just like to share a few of my thoughts here. So one is just develop your passion. My football coach in high school used to always say, "Fire up, baby." You know, he was passionate about what he was doing. He loved coaching. And guess what? He got us fired up, too, because he was excited. You know, so you got to find that passion. You got to find that thing that when you think about, you just get excited about. Matter of fact, why don't you just take a moment and think about what excites you? You know, does it, you know, going on vacation excite you? Does going to a ball game excite you? Does getting dressed in the morning and wearing some clothes excite you? Just think about for a quick moment what excites you. So I wanted you to harness that feeling and that energy and think about using that same compassion, that same fire for others as well. Because I know I get fired up by all kinds of things. I go to Cubs game and there's 30,000 people cheering. I'm excited, right? I want to learn how I can transfer that same kind of excitement to helping others and to seeing others being helped too. Another part is doing your homework. It is important, in my opinion, to understand what's going on so that you can actually do something about it. One of the things that my school is actually going through, there's this book we're reading at Lewis University. I work at a Catholic school, and this book is about, you know, how does a Catholic church in general relate to the LGBT community? and because there's obviously been a schism between the two, right? And how do we relate to each other? And it's a real good book, talks about lots of good things, and it's really informative, and I think it's important for us to learn as much as we can in these kind of situations so that we can build bridges. And that's what the book is all about, is building bridges. If we want to build bridges to those, again, who are out in this community, build bridges in a world that seems to be topsy-turvy and wonderland, we have to do our homework and learn as much as we can. Another thing is create a plan. There's a common saying that says, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. You know, think about Alice in Wonderland. There's a part in Alice in Wonderland where she's asking a cat which direction she should go, and the cat says, well, where are you trying to get to? And Alice says, I don't know. So the cat says, well, you can take any road then. we don't want to be in that situation, right? We want to have a plan. We want to have a direction that we want to strive towards. Again, nothing's going to be perfect. It may not turn out the way you want it to, but at least it gives you something to draw on and something to start with there. Another thing is utilizing resources effectively, being good stewards of what we have, you know, supporting Griot and Emily Josue, supporting the other things that we're doing to show that compassion, show that gentleness, and so on and so forth. And the key to doing that also is to use our resources effectively and strategize even. I'm going to go back to my climbing wall situation. I learned a little bit after my first attempt at climbing a wall. One of the things I wasn't doing right is I was putting my body too far away from the wall as I was climbing up, and I was overexerting myself as I was climbing the wall. When I learned that if you put your body much closer to the wall, you use a lot less energy to get there, and I was able to get to the top relatively easily when I figured that out. And helping others and showing compassion is all the same thing. We have to have a plan and strategize and learn how to do things better so we can be more efficient and effective at showing this compassion and doing these things that we want to do. We know that time, energy, and resources are limited. This, again, is one of the reasons why we tend not to do things, because we're so drained from all the stuff we have to do. Well, if we can learn how to do things more effectively and efficiently, then we can actually do more. Another one is teaming up. You know, no one does it alone. There's power in numbers. You know, I've seen this happen when I used to teach tobacco cessation courses. And, you know, one of the tricks about teaching people how to stop smoking is having lots of different ways of how to stop smoking. One of those successful ways was a buddy system. And having a group of people learn how to help each other quit was key. And I had a group of guys who all worked at the same place, for example, and used to hold each other accountable to not smoke during the break times, because that's what they usually always used to do. You know, so teaming up makes a huge difference, and working together makes a huge difference in that. Then there's also learning, unlearning, and relearning. And this can be one of the most challenging things, because if there's one thing that's difficult is to unlearn stuff. We get stuck in our patterns. We get stuck in the way we used to do things, and it's hard to break out of those things. You know, we can learn something for the first time. We can relearn something pretty easily, but to unlearn things can be difficult. You know, so when it comes to showing this compassion, gentleness, and all these kind of things, sometimes we have to unlearn certain behaviors. We have to unlearn certain ways we like to be in order to do things the better way. All right. I'm going to close and kind of talk about Jesus, and I wonder how much Jesus felt like he was in Wonderland, if he felt like Alice at the time in the world, which was probably about a topsy-turvy, you know, in different ways than it is now. I wonder if Jesus knew which direction to take and when to take it. I wonder if Jesus was able to make any sense of the world that was around him. But I do know one thing for sure, is that Jesus prayed, Jesus helped other people, he sacrificed, and he rose. And on that note, I'd like us to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the gift of life and gift of life more abundant. Father, we know that we are living in a world that seems to weigh on us and lack compassion and lack patience and lack gentleness, lack humility. But we want to try our best to be beacons of light and counteract all those lacks of things and be something meaningful to people around us. Father, we know it's not easy, so we ask for your wisdom, your guidance, your knowledge, and everything that we need, the tools we need in order to live out this scripture each and every day, just as we wear our clothes. And Father, we know that ultimately you are our greatest hope, that whether we hear a voice directly or whether we see it in other people, we do know that you are there. And Lord, we just ask that you just be ever present that much more. We thank you for each and every person in this place and ask that you be with us as we go about our weeks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.